Welcome to the SPE Podcast, powered by the Society of Petroleum Engineers. You're listening to the May 2024 episode of the SPE President's Podcast with Terry Palish, creating our energy future, the importance of supporting academia and students in navigating the challenges and opportunities in the industry. And now your moderator, Jennifer Miskimmons.
Hello, I am Jennifer Miskimmons, Department Head of Petroleum Engineering at the Colorado School of Mines, and I am pleased to join 2024 President Terry Palish on his monthly podcast episode. This month, Terry and I will focus on the academic side of things, what the future holds for petroleum engineering, and the importance of supporting our university and students. Thanks, Terry, for the invitation to join you.
Well, Jennifer, thank you. I know you have a very busy schedule running a department, and so I appreciate you taking the time. You know, as I was kind of thinking through really, you know, how we would do this and really talking a little bit more about the student aspect, I thought, you know, who would be a great host? And certainly you came to mind. I mean, you've been running the department now for a while, and you've been at Colorado School of Mines even longer, so you understand the academic side. You've worked in industry, but then you've also been on the SP board. So I think you kind of understand both sides of this better than I do, for sure. So thank you for joining. It's going to be hopefully a great episode. So, you know, the intention, as you kind of alluded to, was to really kind of follow up on last month. You know, last month we talked about energy education, kind of the energy for me, things like that. And as we got into talking about that, it kind of led to the importance of our public image and public perception and really educating the public. And then, of course, that led to the whole discussion about how do we attract the next generation and its impact our image has on the next generation. So it just seemed like a natural fit to go ahead and start, you know, take this month and maybe just look at our petroleum engineering departments, the status. A lot of people ask me questions about that, and talk a little bit more about students, you know, why they're so important to us and important to SPE and to our future. But I do want to say, you know, this the importance of remembering that attracting the next generation has to be a collaborative effort, not just between universities as well as SP and SP members as well. So again, thank you.
Well, no, I appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you about this. I know why this is such an important topic, but I'd be very curious to see why you think this is such an important topic yourself and SP.
Well, let's start with the board of directors. You know, we understand the importance of our universities, of our students, of our faculty, you know, and the importance of they are to our industry. They're important, obviously, to SPE. And, you know, they're important to the extent that, you know, they are a part of our strategic plan that we just put together. I mean, in that plan, we specifically call out academia and universities in two places. One is in, you know, we have what we call our core constituencies. So the members, our member companies, our sponsors, our external stakeholders. But the fifth, or it's fourth in the list, is our universities and our students. And then, of course, if you kind of looked at the landscape, the environment, our members listed kind of, we had the top five concerns. And one of those concerns is attracting the next generation. So it's clearly important to SPE. But more important, you know, if you've listened to my podcast, you've heard me say it over and over again, but I think, you know, if we really want to solve the energy trilemma or the energy challenge, I like to call it, of providing accessible and affordable and reliable and secure and green and decarbonized energy, the only way we're going to do this, while we're the best suited to do it as an industry, the only way we can do it is if we have the best and the brightest in our industry and coming to our industry. You know, we're going to need the best and the brightest coming to help us solve these complex problems. You know, we need the next technical breakthrough. And, you know, most of this stuff's yet to be discovered. So it's either going to come from our younger professionals in our industry already or the students that are about to enter. And of course, our companies ask and need the pipeline to be full as well. So they, you know, they're out hiring and they need the next generation. And so that's going to help them build the future. And, you know, I don't want to be overly dramatic here, but, you know, frankly, I think humanity and the planet needs us and needs us to keep doing what we're doing about decarbonizing and supplying the fuels that fuel our future. And students are at the center of that. So, you know, one thing I do kind of say this every once in a while, but going out and talking to students is the most fun thing I get to do. But, you know, when you think about their concerns, I mean, number one concern, of course, is they want a long-term career, but they also want to make a difference. They want to feel like they're making a difference in the world. And so, I mean, I think we can do that. And so that's why I think it's such an important topic that we discussed today.
That's what I frequently hear from students also is, yes, they obviously want a long-term career, but making a difference is very important. And they definitely can do so. So hopefully we can get some more students coming our direction in some of these areas. So what is the current state of petroleum engineering programs?
Well, Lloyd Heinze, who's a retired Texas Tech, who, by the way, I had as a professor when I was in university, but he doesn't like me to tell people that. But at any rate, he does a study. He's done this enrollment survey each year. Honestly, I don't know how long he's been doing, but I know his data goes back to 1970. And so, you know, a lot, it's primarily geared to the U.S., but he does have a handful of international schools in that list. And, you know, what he shows kind of confirms what we always have known. And that is, you know, our enrollment typically lags what's going on in the industry about 4 or 5 years. Makes sense. But, you know, we were growing really well as departments until 2015-16. You know, of course, the industry had a downturn in 14-15. That impacted enrollment, saw a significant drop. I think that we probably were about to bottom out, and then COVID happened. So that didn't help anything either. But the good news is, at least it appears from his survey that we have bottomed out and maybe even begun to have modest increases. If you look at this year versus last year, the undergraduate enrollment in the U.S., at least the universities that responded, is up on average. Freshman classes are up 15-20%. So that's, of course, encouraging. Again, these are averages. Half the schools are up. The other half are flat or maybe slightly down. So, you know, it does depend a little bit on what region you're in. What's interesting is about half of those schools are actually up 2 years in a row. So I think that's a nice trend. I think you're in charge. You know, you've met with the department heads recently, and one of the things that I think the sense was that we've seen the bottom and generally probably increasing, or, you know, guarded optimism there probably. But I just want to point out that it does depend a little bit on where you're located. I mean, not all schools are up, not all schools are enjoying that. But the jobs are out there. So, you know, that always helps, of course, as you know. And then I guess kind of along those lines, I know this is not the petroleum engineering programs, but I think it's maybe indicative of kind of this same idea that maybe we bottomed or starting to increase. And that is, you know, this, we just completed a kind of our membership review for SPE in 2023, and student membership is up 13%. So that's a big increase for us. In fact, it's even bigger when you think about the fact that we haven't had an increase since 2015. So we're up on average. The nice thing is that all regions, except for Latin America, Caribbean, and Russia, are up double digit. So this isn't just one region story. Some are up more than others. Even Europe is up like 27%. So that's encouraging. Latin America, Caribbean is flat. So, you know, we didn't drop there. Russia did drop, but I think we understand why there. So I think state of the programs does depend on what region you're in. But generally speaking, I think as a whole, we are on the upswing. Is it dramatic? Is it fast? I don't know. I think that remains to be seen.
That's amazing. Overall, that we're up that 13%. And like you said, it's very region dependent. But the folks that I'm talking to, I think you use the right words, guarded optimism, that maybe we've bottomed out and we are starting to see those increases overall. Speaking of, what are the challenges to getting more students in the petroleum engineering and related subjects that can help out with some of the industry needs here?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's typically public image, you know, maybe just kind of what the perception is of our industry and some of the things. I'd say there's probably top three. One is, look, this energy transition narrative doesn't help us I mean, transition implies we're going away, changing, whatever. I mean, I don't like to use transition. I mean, I think evolution is a much better word. I mean, some people even say it's energy expansion, but that doesn't help us. You know, we also have to deal with, you know, our image of our industry has been this cyclical nature, and we have layoffs every once in a while. And, you know, that doesn't help us any. I mean, I always hope that's behind us. I do feel better about the way things are. I think that companies have shown restraint, and I think we understand that. I don't know how much of an impact this has, but it does make me always wonder, you know, this image we've had 10 or 15 years ago of the West Texas roustabout with a hard hat and a pipe wrench over his shoulder and oil on his face and all this stuff. I mean, I don't think that helps anything. But, you know, if you look at some of the NOCs the IOCs now, some of their advertising, I mean, much better. I mean, you see people working, you know, high tech things. I mean, think about what we do when we drill a well in the Gulf of Mexico and it's 9,000 feet of water. I mean, we're putting a man on the moon is what we're doing. And so I think we're getting better at that's part of it. So I think image is part of it. And then along those lines, of course, students are always concerned about, do we have a long-term career? We just talked about it a second ago. And, you know, they're led to believe on a lot of fronts that petroleum won't be relevant in a few years. Clearly, that's not the case. So that's an issue. I think the other concern and probably challenge that's out there, and this isn't the case everywhere, but you know, just the amount of students coming into college now is down. I mean, in the U.S., student enrollment is down. I mean, it's just the numbers game. It's just a birthright game. And then, of course, you add into there the STEM education. That doesn't help. I mean, STEM education is enrollment is down. A lot of kids are not wanting to go into that. And then, you know, just even earth oriented sciences are down in K-12. So, you know, students want to go into, you know, computer science, things like that. And it's all important. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I think that, you know, that kind of probably sums up, you know, some of it is image related, but then the other part of it is just, you know, just demographics are changing.
Yeah, I agree. That's really what we're seeing also is the demographics are changing, but we do kind of have some of those older images that stick with people and getting folks to understand that there's a lot of interesting, incredibly technology driven challenges that we're dealing with that the students of the future and engineers of the future are going to be able to help us with. And we need that, right? We need that new blood coming into the industry to help and drive some of those and answer some of those challenges. Which, speaking of which, how do you think universities are addressing these different challenges that we're speaking of?
Well, you would probably know better than I, but I'll tell you what I've kind of heard. You know, first of all, it does depend on where you're at. I will say that I think most departments are kind of dealing with this and, you know, certainly as together, but I mean, they have to deal with it in their own university, their own region. You know, some petroleum engineering departments have certainly merged with other departments, maybe G&G side of things, or maybe they've changed their names to something geoscience related or even subsurface engineering. You know, unfortunately, there have been some programs that have closed. I'm not glad that's happened, but it has happened. But I would say, I think that what I heard, you know, is that, you know, I think your petroleum heads meeting last year, you know, kind of talked about, you know, kind of everyone was doing. And I think that the majority of schools believe that petroleum engineering is here to stay and they're keeping the name and in some fashion. But instead they're adding to electives, offering electives on, you know, maybe it's on carbon capture or hydrogen or energy related things, or in many cases, I think what universities are doing is they're incorporating some of this into the existing class. So as an example, your drilling class, you might talk about drilling a geothermal well. Or in your reservoir class, you might talk about storage and things like that. So I think that's mostly what, at least let's say that they're the way they're handling their departments. And then, you know, I mean, I think in a lot of cases they're going out into high schools or even earlier and talking about the importance of energy and then, of course, petroleum and oil and gas industry. And, you know, I just want to take this opportunity to just point out that, again, you don't have to be a petroleum engineer to be an SP member. I mean, in fact, over half of our members are not degreed petroleum engineers. They work in our industry and join. So I think that that's kind of some of the tactic that the schools are taking as well.
Yeah, I agree. That's when I talk with people, that's kind of what I see also, is one size doesn't fit all. And each school and each program is having to take a look at their particular situation. But there are many, many different routes that people are going to address some of these challenges. So how can SPE members help with some of this?
Well, I mean, the first thing is just to remember the importance of giving back. You know, I don't think you can ever underestimate the impact of what students think and see when they see alumni or they see professionals come back and talk to them. You know, students, they like to hear about their career paths. They want to hear, you know, about how you went, you know, how your career unfolded. I mean, it's an unknown to them at this point in time. They want to see what opportunities are out there. You know, they want to see how they can make an impact. They especially want to hear this from younger members, by the way, young professionals. You know, as much as they can probably try to relate to me, I think it's a lot easier for them to relate to somebody who's in their 20s and early 30s. But you know, that's one aspect. You know, I think we have to always remember that universities do need financial involvement from industry, whether it's companies. So, you know, if your company has a problem or something they need researched or worked on, I think you should always be thinking about the universities to help support graduate programs and the projects and funding there. Of course, scholarships. You know, this is one of the things our sections, our professional sections do very well. I think 2 years ago, they gave out $1 million across, from what we could tell, in scholarships. And so there's always that opportunity. So supporting your local section will help support scholarships. The other thing is, we'll talk about it probably a little bit on how to start a section, but, you know, each chapter is affiliated with a section. So if you can, if your section supports a student chapter, then you have the ability to support them there. You know, always looking for speakers. So if you can go back and give us a speaking engagement. Some schools have mentorship programs. There's probably opportunities there. Most schools have an industry advisory board. Usually it's made up of alumni, but doesn't have to be from industry. And it kind of helps, you know, link up the chapters with industry experts, but also, you know, provide curriculum advice and things like that. And then, of course, you know, if your university doesn't have an SP chapter, you can always offer to go back and just speak to them about the industry or something like that. Although we do have 400 chapters. So if your university doesn't have one, it's pretty unique at this point. So,
well, as somebody that's been on the receiving end of many of those opportunities, I would second to reach out to your alma mater and see if there are things that you can help, because it's amazing how just those little things can help out a university, can help out a school, can help out the students, see what those potentials might be in the future. So say there is a school out there or university or program that wants to start a new student chapter. What does it take? How do they go about doing so?
Well, as we mentioned before, I do want to point out that you don't have to have a petroleum engineering degree department in order to have an SPE student chapter. I mean, again, we have 400 student chapters and we don't have 400 petroleum engineering programs in the world. So clearly you don't have to have that. Some programs just have a graduate program in petroleum engineering. You know, I'll just give you some numbers. You know, I think there's about 25 universities that have a petroleum engineering undergrad or grad program or have something embedded in another degree. But we have 40 student chapters in the U.S. So clearly we have some places that don't have that. Oklahoma State, you know, they have a petroleum engineering minor. Then they have a petroleum engineering master's and a PhD. And USC has a chemi with petroleum engineering minor, a subsurface emphasis. So we have different opportunities here. As far as what you need, you need a minimum of 25 students, similar to a section. You need at least a 2-year program in a related energy industry. So you do need that. Two of the key aspects, though, once you have that, is you need a faculty advisor The faculty advisor needs to be an SPE member. Faculty advisors are really critical. The stronger the faculty advisor, the better chance you have of that chapter continuing, particularly if you don't have petroleum engineering department at your school, because they're going to be the ones that provide the continuity and you know, provide the impetus and the, you know, the, you know, kind of keep the students going, because students come and go, but, you know, hopefully the faculty advisor can be constant. And then the other one that's important is you do have to have a sponsoring SP section. I kind of mentioned it before, but, you know, the SP section, that professional section that sponsors you, is really important, because they're going to provide support and guidance to the section. You know, hopefully they'll do things like, you know, provide scholarship opportunities or things like that. But just keep in mind that they don't have to be, the chapter, student chapter, doesn't have to be in the same city or country, even a region, as the, region helps, but as the chapter. So I'll just give you some examples. The Denver section, they sponsor the University of Wyoming. They sponsor your school, the Colorado School of Mines, and Montana Tech. Region, they're in the region, but not in the same state or city. Oklahoma City section, they support OU, of course, but they also support Missouri S&T. So it's really important. Those, you know, that's kind of ends up being kind of the link for those students to professionals. So the strength of a student chapter is usually geared to the faculty advisor and the student section. So it's really important. There's more guidelines, but those are the main ones. You can go to sp.org to find out more.
No, that sounds great. That's good to know for those that might be considering such out there. So I get asked this question a lot, and I'll be very curious to see your answer to it. But so why should students get involved at the university level? I get students that ask me that all the time. What do you tell students why they should get involved?
Well, the first thing I tell them is don't do what I did. So, I joined SPE as a college student. I did it for one reason, and that was for my resume. And do that. I think that's important. But then do more than what I did. I got it on my resume, and that's about all I did. But I think it's important, because in addition to having that on your resume, then you also, is getting involved. Getting involved, you get to learn how to work together with your fellow students, you know, for a common goal. You get to see your sense of accomplishment. You know, when you're interviewing for a job, they're going to ask you about, okay, what does this SP membership mean? What does that do? And you need to be able to say more than, well, I signed up to get on my resume like I did. But, you know, you can tell them about how you ran this particular event or what have you. You know, it also helps just obtain a, you know, kind of a better understanding of our profession, because you know, I think most of the student chapters do a really good job of bringing in industry speakers. And so you get to meet those speakers. You know, a lot of times they're high level VPs, CEOs of presidents of companies. And, you know, you get to learn how to network. And frankly, as we all know, in the professional side, networking is a huge aspect of what you need to do to basically make it in the world. Your network is very important, and you can start at a very early age to do that. And I just want to point out, membership is free. You may have, I don't know, some have local dues, but internationally it is a free aspect. SP doesn't charge for student members because of the, you know, some gracious donations and sponsorship by Chevron. But I think it's important to get involved when you're in school, to do more than just study and more than get good grades, to be able to show that you have the ability to be more well-rounded.
I'm laughing as I'm listening, because I think you and I joined our sections as students for possibly some of the same reasons, but hindsight being 2020, it's amazing what you look back and see how much joining the student chapter really did help your career over time and what it brought to us as professionals over time. So, that's
well, the funny thing is, Jennifer, I mean, I have to tell you, when I meet people on the board or you know, people who have, I'll call them advancing in SPE, 95% of them, I'm sure you've seen it, 95% of them were leaders in their student chapters. I mean, it's a great foundation for them. And so I think it's really important.
Yeah, I agree 110% on that one and what it brings to them as students. And like you said, being able to meet some of the people that they meet through SPE is pretty amazing. It definitely is. So that helps benefit the students. What about benefits to the professionals?
Well, you know, obviously the purpose of these podcasts have been to try to help people understand how to get the most out of the membership. And so as professionals, I think the first, maybe the most obvious one is by investing in students and the universities. You know, these are the places where you're going to be recruiting. This is where your next employees are going to come from. And so I think the more you invest in them, the better product you're going to get and the better you're going to have for your companies. You know, having healthy student chapters keeps the pipeline full. And then, of course, it helps get students interested in your company. And, you know, kind of gets them connected early on to the industry. So I think that's good. I think that, you know, going back to university, if you've never done it, whether it's your alma mater or not, is really pretty fulfilling and a lot of fun. You just, I think, would be amazed at the impact that you can have and how that makes you feel. I will say, I do think as professionals, this is, we kind of mentioned before, this is really important for YPs. I think it's twofold for YPs. One is, of course, it helps the students because they get to relate to somebody. But for you personally, I mean, if you're giving presentations to students or you're interacting with students, doing Q&A with them, that's a pretty good leaping off point for you to develop your presentation skills and you're in really in a non-threatening area. You're not at ATCE in front of the simulation crowd, right? You're in front of students that are, you know, happy to see you. And so it really helps you hone some of your soft skills. You know, again, I think it does give you a sense of professional fulfillment. I mean, maybe not everybody, but I think you would be probably surprised at the impact you can have on a student's career, just even with some brief interaction. I'm sure you've had it, Jennifer. I mean, even at ATC and stuff, as students come up to you. And then I've had people come up to me after they become SP members and say, I remember when you spoke to us. And so it's just, I just think it is part of our giving back side of things. It does have benefits for us, but I think that's the important thing. You know, we can probably all remember some professor or some professional member or somebody that kind of made an impact on you. And you may not even realize you made the impact. So, you know, look, in the end, ultimately, by supporting our students in universities, we expand our network, we gain professional fulfillment. But more importantly, look, it's all part of creating our energy future. I mean, it ensures longevity of our industry. That in turn lifts the world out of energy poverty. And, you know, I don't think anything's more important than creating our industry's energy future than interacting and supporting our young members. So I think that's the main thing.
I think you hit on it. I think we all can think back to that one person that probably never knew what an impact they had on us, but we remember seeing them at some point. And the tables can be turned. People can now become that person that somebody's going to remember down the road that really inspired them. And that's an important thing. It's an important thing to give back like that. Well, Terry, I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you on this. Obviously, it's a topic near and dear to my heart. So what do you have on tap for June?
Well, thank you, first of all, for joining me, Jennifer. But also, thanks for all you do for students. I mean, I know you're invested in them. And I think I know a lot of people appreciate, a lot of students think the world of you, and I think for good reason. So thank you for the passion that you have for everything you do and for what you do for SPE. But next up, I think in June, we're going to talk about, maybe dive a little bit more into soft skills. You know, I've kind of alluded to it a little bit today. We've talked about it in the past, but maybe talk about soft skills, the importance of soft skills, probably talk a little bit more about volunteering, SPE volunteering, kind of how that helps you and helps you ultimately create your energy future. So I think that's what we're going to talk about. And I look forward to speaking with everybody next month. Thanks again, Jennifer.
Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the SPE President's Podcast, Creating Our Energy Future with Terry Palish. New episodes are posted at the beginning of each month, complete with transcripts, on the Journal of Petroleum Technology website at jpt.spe.org.